From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. This is Betty Norton.
I've been trying to call you.
I know I was out. I'm sorry.
You keep pretty late hours. It's after midnight.
Did they wake you up?
No.
Good. Why don't you come over? The moon's real nice tonight. The lake is luscious.
I'll come over, Betty. But not to talk about the moon or the water.
Oh. Got something else on your mind, maybe?
Yeah. A little thing called murder.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Amalgamated Life Associates Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Crystal Lake matter. Expense account continued. Item 6, $2. Tip to the Crystal Lake Hotel garage attendant for rousting him out of bed to get my car. I wanted very much to have another talk with Betty Norton, the wealthy, glamorous girl on the other side of the lake. She had told me she hadn't been with Edward Russell when he left the hotel bar the night he was murdered. But the bartender at the hotel swore that she and Russell had left together. If she'd lied about that, maybe she'd lied about a few other things. When I got to her Lakeshore mansion, she had a few well-spaced dim lights burning, a dreamy-type record playing, and some drinks mixed. The whole bit.
Here you are, Johnny. Bourbon, isn't it?
Yeah. Ah, you've got a good memory, Betty.
Sure. I always remember what's important.
Or what you want to remember.
Same thing.
Isn't it? How about the things you don't want to remember?
Meaning?
A couple of questions I want to ask you.
Oh, now don't start making with those dull questions again. Look, let's just have a drink.
Last time I had to go swimming with you before you'd answer. This time it's got to be a drink, huh?
Well, I thought we might dance, too.
With you leading, I suppose. Sorry, Betty. I know you probably own quite a few things in this world, but the list stops short of me. I want some answers from you, and I want them now.
Okay, so be a party pooper. So ask questions.
You told me you met Edward Russell in the hotel bar the night he was murdered. You had one drink with him and left.
That's right.
You lied, Betty.
Who says so?
The bartender at the hotel.
My, I've always tipped him so well, too.
Look, baby, suppose we cut the comic routines, huh?
All right, so I left the bar with Russell.
Why did you lie about it to me this afternoon?
It's very simple, Johnny. Part of the Norton training, I guess.
What does that mean?
My father told me long ago I could do whatever I liked, but to keep it out of the newspapers. That's the way I've played it ever since.
Well, go on.
On that night you're talking about, Russell and the bartender got into a fight.
I know.
And that's why I lied to you. Believe me. I just didn't want to be mixed up in anything that could land in the papers.
I see. What happened then?
He and I went to a coffee shop to sober him up a little. You can check that.
I will. Then what?
He kept mumbling about somebody named Billy was looking for.
Did he say much about him?
No, he wasn't making very much sense. And then Hiram came into the coffee shop.
Who?
Hiram, the old fellow who drives what passes for a taxi here at the lake. He told Russell somebody wanted to see him. Russell left with Hiram.
And you didn't see Russell after that?
No, I didn't. You don't look convinced, Johnny.
I'm not. You lied once before, you could be lying again.
Sorry? I told you I lied before, but this time it's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Where can I get in touch with Hiram?
His number's on the cover of the local directory.
Local directory. This one over here?
Yes.
Okay.
Johnny, at this time of night?
Yes, at this time of night.
He doesn't usually take calls after midnight.
Sleeper out somewhere, I guess. Well, I'll check him in the morning.
What is it?
Shh, quiet.
Johnny, what is it? What's the matter?
I thought I heard something outside here. Could it have been one of your servants?
I only have a housekeeper with me here, and she went to bed hours ago.
Hmm.
There are a lot of deer around here. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, maybe.
Johnny, you call Hiram in the morning. He'll back my story up. Crazy thinking I had anything to do with Russell's murder. What possible reason could I have?
A pretty weird one, maybe, but it might fit. You told me this afternoon you had to play everything your way. You've probably been doing it most of your life and getting away with it. Maybe Russell wouldn't cooperate.
Are you kidding? Look, men like Russell are a dime a dozen. So I had a drink with him and got mixed up in a barroom brawl. I should have known better. But as far as getting interested in him, I wasn't. Believe me, I can always find others who like to play it my way, as you put it. What's the matter?
Oh, you kill me. That gold-plated front you put on. I wonder if behind it you aren't just a hollow, lonely kid.
Thanks a lot for reminding me, Mr. Freud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess that was a little out of line.
I guess I was asking for it. But you're wrong about me not being able to stand anyone who doesn't play it my way. You see, I found someone who won't. And I kind of like it. Kind of like you, that is.
Don't worry.
I'm not going to try to appropriate you or buy you. But about the loneliness, don't leave just yet, Johnny. Stay just a few minutes more.
Okay. Just a few minutes. I guess I felt a little sorry for her and her loneliness. Or maybe it was... Well, anyway, I stayed a few minutes more. I think it was just a few minutes. My watch had stopped. First thing in the morning, I tried to get higher on the cab driver on the phone again, but still no answer. I headed for Deputy Sheriff Ansel Garrett's office. Clarence Bixby, who owned the cabin where Russell's body was found, was with him.
Good morning, Johnny.
Vance, Mr. Bixby.
Good morning, Dolly. Anything new?
Not much.
Well, I won't take up any more of your time, Sheriff. However, I would like to ask a favor of you.
What is it?
So far, the Denver papers haven't mentioned which cabin up here the body was found in. I'd appreciate it if it could be kept that way. Otherwise, if it got out, I'm afraid my chances of ever selling the place would be pretty dim.
Yeah, and anybody who'd want to buy it for that reason would probably be the kind of person not very welcome here at the lake. Okay, Bixby, sounds reasonable enough. See what I can do.
Much obliged, Sheriff. Cigar?
No, thanks.
Dollar?
No, thanks.
Well, see you later, fellas. I'll be around a day or two more if you want me to.
Okay. Well, how do things look this morning, Johnny?
Just like Bixby's cigar wrapper.
Hmm?
I wish he'd quit tying those things in knots. Every time he does it, it reminds me that we're right in the middle of a knot we can't untie.
Yeah. It's a bear, all right.
Oh, brother, it's worse than that. A guy named Edward Russell takes off from his home in Denver and disappears. He turns up here looking for a guy named Bill, of which there are too many in this town.
Then Bixby brings a prospect up here to show his cabin, too. He finds the padlock's been switched. Russell's body inside.
Yeah. Ants, the only person who stood to profit financially on Russell's death is his wife, Leona, beneficiary on his $50,000 insurance policy. But she couldn't have killed him. The Denver police established her in Denver at the time.
Oh, incidentally, she's up here at the lake now, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, she told me over the phone you wanted her to confirm the identification. How'd she bear up?
Not too well. It was kind of rough. You got any information out of Betty Norton?
Well, her story is she had coffee with Russell after his fracas with a bartender. Hiram, the cab driver, came in and told Russell somebody was looking for him. Russell went away with Hiram.
You checked with Hiram?
I've been trying to get in touch with him on the phone. No answer.
Yeah, he's on the go a lot. He keeps his cab behind the hotel garage. We can check there and leave a message for him.
Yeah, okay. Yes. What about Bixby as a possibility?
I thought of that too, Johnny.
It had taken an awful lot of nerve to kill a guy and then arrange to discover the body in your own cabin, but it sure would be quite a cover.
Yeah. But like you say, it'd take more nerve than most men have got. Besides, we run a check on Bixby, and we've turned up absolutely nothing to tie him into the deal at all. Now, there's no evidence he'd ever known Russell.
I know. Leona Russell can't remember her husband ever mentioning Bixby's name. Hey, wait a minute. How about Putnam?
Well, the guy who wanted to buy Bixby's cabin?
Yeah. The same thing could apply to him. He knew the cabin was empty. He could have planted Russell's body there and then arranged for Bixby to open the cabin.
It could be, except how does he tie in?
I don't know. He said he and his wife wanted to buy the cabin. Might be interesting to check with his wife and see what she says.
Not a bad idea, Johnny. I'll put in a long-distance call to her. Don't count on much, though.
At this point, Ansel, I'm counting on nothing. And I wasn't. I was getting nowhere trying to match a logical motive with any of the suspects. I decided I might as well continue checking guys named Bill around town and see if I could find the one Russell had been looking for. I went down to Bill's boathouse at the landing. Bill Jensen, who ran it, was a stocky, heavyset man in his late 20s. His face looked friendly enough. That is, if you weren't paying much attention to his eyes. They were about the coldest shade of blue I'd ever seen.
What can I do for you, Mr. Dollar? Boat, maybe?
A little information, maybe.
What about?
A man named Edward Russell.
The guy who was murdered? What about him?
Did he come around here to your boathouse?
Not that I know of.
Well, he was looking for a man named Bill, and I thought you might be the one.
No. No, Ants Garrett was telling me about him, but I'm not the one he was looking for, sorry.
Did you have to see him around town anywhere?
Russell? Nope. First time I saw him was his picture in the paper after the killing.
I see. Hey, you got quite a lot of boats here, Jensen.
Yeah, pretty big investment in them.
You keep the ones here in the boathouse padlocked, I see.
No, I have to. Used to get one stolen now and then. Say, you want to take one out in the lake now, Mr. Dollar?
Not right now, Jensen. Maybe later. See you around. All of a sudden, I was real interested in Bill Jensen and his boathouse, because some of the padlocks on the boats looked very much like the one that had been placed on Bixby's cabin door, the one he'd pried off when he discovered Russell's body. I wanted a closer look at those padlocks, but now wasn't the time. I went on back to the hotel to look for Hiram, but his taxi still wasn't there. So I left him a message to contact me as soon as possible. Then, after dark, I went back to the boathouse. There was nobody around. I slipped in the back and took a close look at the boat padlocks. Yeah, no doubt about it. They were the same kind as the one on Bixby's door. And one of them was missing. Yeah, Bill Jensen could be my boy. I hit the deck fast behind one of the boats and looked around me. It was a bad spot to be in. I was pinned against a wall. I edged toward the rear, then dove for the door of the tiny office. Then I realized my mistake. I'd figured that the office would have an outside door, but it didn't. I was trapped. Yeah, it looked like I'd just solved the murder. The hard way.
Here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a shot in the dark that missed, and another that hit the bullseye. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.